Good morning. My name is Stephen Riley. I'm lead pastor here at Living Waters Church, and I am in my home just like you are in your home today. And it has been a beautiful few days outside. I just love this Kentucky fall weather. It's just tremendous. So I want to just go ahead and dig into our message. It's still the series, Signs of the Times. And this is a third part. It's called The Church Arising. The Church Arising with a Victorious Leader at the Helm. So last Sunday, our good friend and a prophetic evangelist, Phil Wynn, and his wife is here. Tremendous day for morning service, evening service. Just tremendous. The anointing and presence of God was so just powerful, both morning and night during the prayer meeting. But after that day, I did get a feel of where we are in this season on the earth as a church. And so I encourage you, if you haven't seen and watched that message, to get to that soon. It was a great message. So, Signs of the Times, I'm going to take us to Matthew chapter 13. In this chapter, there are seven parables. And two of the parables of those seven refer to the end times and the harvest. That's really a highlight. God's bringing everything to a wonderful climax, highlight of the end times is a great harvest. And two of the parables refer to that. This one that we're going to go over today, called the tares and the wheat, or the weeds and the wheat, refers to this harvest in the end times. So in Matthew 13, it starts off in verse 24, where Jesus shares and tells this parable. Parable, all it is, it's a story that is just specifically designed with all the elements in it to have spiritual lessons, to have eternal lessons in them. And Jesus taught by these stories over and over again. And so here's one of them called the Tares Among the Wheat. And it starts at verse 24. Now, I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to refer to it, and then I'll read more of the passage later. So what happens, he says, there is a sower goes out, and he sows seeds, the wheat, but then in the night, an enemy comes in, and he sows weeds, specifically tares, into this same soil when nobody knows it. And so then it's a number of days later, these wheat starts growing, but also the tares start growing. And what I've understood is that actually tares and wheat can look similar at first. There's similarities, and so it's hard to tell. But after a while, they could tell. And so the worker said, "Oh, master, what should we do? Should we tear out, should we rip out these weeds to protect the wheat?" And the landowner said, "No, don't do anything. Because if you start pulling out this evil seed right now, these tares, you're going to uproot much of the wheat. And we don't want to do that." So he said, just leave it. And then after it matures, and the wheat is ready to harvest, harvest it all. So, now, and take the wheat, the weeds, those tares, and throw them into the fire. So, now, a few verses later in this chapter, we see this, Jesus explains and gives more detail. Now, this parable is one that I've heard repeated several times over the last few months from different respected prophetic leaders, Bible teachers, pastors, identifying that this parable does apply to today. And it's been on my mind and my spirit for weeks now. And I'm going to explain here what Jesus said. Let's now jump down a little bit at verse 36. I'm going to read it right here with you here. Get your Bible apps out, your Bibles. Here we go. Matthew 13, verse 36 says, Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and the disciples, being he, Jesus, came to Jesus and said, "Explain to us the parable of the tares in the field." And he said, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. And as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom, and the tares are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. So just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness, and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." Lord God, we want to be a people that have ears to hear. So we ask, give us that grace, your Spirit that's in us. Anoint our ears to hear what your Spirit is saying, and apply this passage to our lives, to our church today. This has a couple of highlights in it. One is that don't miss that the harvest, verse 39, "And the harvest is at the end of the age, and the angels are the reapers." That's exciting. And God is building all the events of the earth, of the whole earth, are building toward a great harvest at the end of the age. That is God's heart. That's why Jesus came to die on the cross for you and me. That's why he rose again from the grave. That's why he left heaven to come rescue us. It's for the harvest of souls. So right now, before this happens, we're in an age of grace, of where the gospel is being preached, reaching out to all that are lost in our counties, in our neighborhoods, in our state, our country, and the world. There's a season of grace, but there is a time when this end time harvest will come, and God will judge everyone. And those who are sown seeds with the enemy and did not come in to become a child of God, it'll be, the time is over. It's done. They won't have another chance. And they will be judged. And that is hell. That being thrown in fire is symbolic of hell. But the wheat will be harvested. It'll be matured. It'll be harvested. And this wheat is verse 43. I'm going to read it again. "Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father." That's us. That's you and me. Even though there is this ever-increasing rising of evil, even the sons of the devil rising in power and strength, causing intensity all around us, we are the righteous, arising like the sun, shining forth the kingdom of our Father. Do you see what we're talking about? Both are rising. The church is arising with the victorious leader at the helm, our Lord Jesus, our victorious leader. But there's also a rising. This evil presence, the sons of the evil one, they're getting stronger, they're getting more prevalent. It's crowding in as we're both rising. It's becoming more intense. But it doesn't have to slow our growth. It doesn't have to slow our strength. It doesn't have to dwindle us down. And this is what we're talking about. Now, I'm going to try to jog your memory a little bit. It feels so long ago, just the beginning of 2020, in the month of January and February, when we did a series on the vision for Living Waters Church in 2020. And I had us commit as a church body to think and pray and speak certain aspects, certain statements for Living Waters for 2020. Do you remember that? We had several cards called One Accord cards. And many of you signed these cards at home, and ours is, I've got one in my office I've signed, and I've got one in our refrigerator here at home. And it says, one of the one accords being in unity, we believe that we are a church on the rise. We believe, Living Waters, the church family believe, we're a church on the rise. And that is was relating to the book of Acts, and the church was on the rise, increasing in numbers. But this parable today is a statement of faith that we believe that Living Waters is a church on the rise of strength and power amidst a day where in our culture, in our society, there's also a rise of evil all around us. And that takes certain keys to have this happen in a day like today. Now, I'm going to switch this over into a video clip about Sean Foyt. Sean's ministry is a praise and worship missions minister around the world. Because of the COVID-19, he could not travel in missions like he had in the past. So he believed God told him to focus on America. And so he has begun, and he's gone to around 25 cities around our country. He has started doing outdoor worship events in these cities, particularly where there's protests and rioting going on. And I don't understand all the details, but I've heard in on the West Coast, there's been people getting saved in these worship times and baptisms and people's getting healed. And I've heard in Seattle, they were resisted and they couldn't do a worship event, but they could do a protest. So they signed up and registered as a worship protest, and they did it out in the streets. And so here in this clip, I believe it was just early this week, went to Chicago. And you'll see in this clip how though they registered and tried to do everything appropriately, they were resisted by the government. And but yet, look at the faith arising in this man and in these people. Let's break to the video clip.
So we're here in Chicago, South Chicago, and we're gathered here. We notified the authorities, the Park Service, the police, and the mayor alerted the police to show up and shut us down. So right now, we have all of these officers and a whole line of police over there and over there. And they told us if we set up right now, that they're going to take all of our gear and they're going to bring us into prison. So, but Christians are rising up. I'm telling you guys, this is a new day for the church. This is our 26th city, and we're not about to stop now.
Don't you just love that? Did you hear his faith arising amidst the opposition? So this ministry has a truckload of equipment, sound equipment and stage and drums and guitars and sound equipment. Well, the police said by order of the mayor that if you take this equipment out, we're going to confiscate it and we're going to put you in prison. And he got excited about that. Wow. And then he said, so what are they doing? They have an acoustic guitar and they're just singing in open air. And it looks like maybe a couple hundred or more people are just worshiping God in that park. With no electronic means at all. And so what we're seeing, folks, is that despite opposition to ministry, to the gospel, to the church, to the ways that we've done church in the past, the ways we've done life in the past, and there are blockages here, you can't do this, can't do that. It's like everything's changing. What do we do now? It looks like we can't minister this way or that way, and our life and our family, everything's changing, and it can look so negative, but no. But no, the church is arising with the victorious leader at the helm. And you see that in Sean Foyt. And you see that, listen, that God is on the move and God is working in the streets. Now, I don't have a lot of information about this, but Delisa, my wife, she has a friend who has a knows a friend who has a ministry in downtown Louisville and down at Jefferson Square. And this woman is seeing salvations, God answering prayer, people getting saved among the rioters down in downtown Louisville. We need to realize that God is working in believers in Louisville, and we need to get the word out and help us pray and intercede and support that. I'd like to see Sean bring his ministry to Louisville and be a part of that and help support that. And so God, in the midst of these very bleak times, is working and he's moving. Let me give you the key to this switch in attitude, in spirit, in perspective. And I found it in a book I've read a number of years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And it's a book by Don Finto. And it's called The Handbook for the End Times, Hope, Help, and Encouragement for Living in the Last Days. Now, let me tell you a little bit of Don Finto about him, if you don't know who he is. He is 90 years old, turned 90 at the beginning of the year. He's been ministering for 70 years. And we've had him, he lives in Nashville. Was a pastor in Nashville many years. You might remember Michael W. Smith was in his church, and Don was his pastor for many years. But Don Finto had really, in his later years, is focused on Israel in the Middle East. And so he's written a book about that. We've had him speak at Living Waters back in the 90s, and it was our privilege to get to know him pretty well. So in this book, he shares the secret for the church arising in the end times, despite the evil rising along with it. And it's what he calls the Caleb spirit. Now, many of you know exactly what I'm talking about right when I say that, but I want to go back into that Old Testament story and review that for all of us. Now, Don Finto, he's the real Caleb spirit, because Caleb is the one who in his 80s got to go in the promised land and take the giants, because he had a different spirit, the Caleb spirit. And Don Finto even named his ministry Caleb Company. And so this guy's for real. But in this Old Testament story, it's in Numbers 13. Why don't you go there? I'm not going to read the whole story because it's fairly long in chapter 13. I'm going to just review it real quick in Numbers 13. But what's happening is, God has already delivered the people of Israel from bondage in Egypt with the 10 plagues of great power. And now they're in the desert, and the promised land is not very far away. And in fact, they're on the edge of the promised land, and God tells Moses, send 12 spies into this land to take note of how big the inhabitants are, strong or weak, how the cities are, fortified or not, what the land is like, the fruit, how big and small, and come back and give a report. And God intended, God knew what was in the promised land. He wanted these 12 leaders. These are 12 leaders from each one of the tribes, not just anybody, but a leader, high leader, to come back and come back with ideas of faith of how to go in there and have victory with their victorious leader who just brought them out of Egypt. Now, they'll have victory in the promised land. But that's not what happened. After 40 days of spying the land, Caleb and Joshua said, hey, we can go into this land and have a great victory. But 10 of the spies said, oh no, there's a lot of fruit. Look at this fruit. The land is luscious with milk and honey, but there's giants in the land. And then the spies went on to said, we're like grasshoppers in our sight. We're like grasshoppers. So they were even over-exaggerating. They were so full of fear. And those 10 spies, their fear spread out through the whole land of the Israelites. So I say to you, this is what we've got to watch out for. That we don't let a spirit of fear, even coming from the majority, bring our faith down. Change our perspective. Change what we're seeing and change our faith. This is the key difference. This is the key difference. This was such an evil thing of those 10 spies that God, at that very moment, said, okay, I'm done. I'm going to wipe away everybody except you, Moses, and Caleb and Joshua, and I'm going to start a new nation with you. Because I have just delivered them out of the land of Egypt, and they're not going to trust me to protect them and bless them in the promised land. And Moses interceded and said, no, he begged God and said, no, don't. Don't let the world see this. Let them see your power in Egypt and your power over these people and into the promised land. And so God relented. He actually changed his mind. He said, okay, but these 10 spies and all the adults who are 20 years and older will not go into the promised land. You're going to wander around in circles in this desert 40 years. That's when this happened, when they allowed a spirit of fear to come on them and rule their mind and their thinking and take away their faith. That's when God decided to judge them and say, you will wander in this desert 40 years and die in this desert. But Joshua and Caleb, who has a different spirit, they will go in the promised land. That's the key. That's the key. And that's what we, as a church, Living Waters, we're a church on the rise. We are arising like the Son of Righteousness is rising. And we are with the kingdom of our Father, despite what's happening out in the world and out around us. Despite that, we are rising. Now, okay, Stephen. All right, so what's the key? How do you help me here? Here's something practical to help you, because this is a real important aspect. This is what you do today, tomorrow morning in your devotionals. Now, this is my devotional notebook, and I write notes in here. I write notes in here with about my scriptures I'm reading, prayers that I have, and so forth. And I have these several papers, a little pieces of paper, that I identify what I call a toxic thought or an ungodly belief. I identified it. It's starting to be a pattern in my mind. And I don't want that to remain as a thought pattern. And so this is what I've done. Recently, this is just a few weeks ago, I've been working on this. So what I want to do is I want to actually read you what I wrote down as the ungodly belief. And then I also then write down the godly belief, the truth, because I want to be able to catch it in my thought patterns and then replace it with a godly, truthful thought. And so here goes. So just a few weeks ago, I wrote this down. It's hard to make decisions and not have anxiety because so much is uncertain and potentially volatile. So that was my mind starting to repeat, man, it's hard to make decisions. And I'm just getting anxiety so often because things are changing. It's uncertain. But here is the truth. Here's what God wants me to think. And this is what I replace that thought with. Here we go. God is certainly on the throne. He's unchanged and he is strong. He is opening new doors of opportunity in this time of uncertainty, and he provides all the direction and empowerment I need to fulfill his great destiny in my life, all the while I'm walking in his shalom. Do you see the difference? I'm looking up to the Father. He's on the throne. He's strong. He is opening new doors of opportunity. Praise God. That's right. See, instead of going, we can't do this anymore. I can't do that. Or we can't do ministry. Or our family can't this. There's no, Let me tell you, look for new doors of opportunity opening up. God is doing that for the body of Christ. This is a time of prosperity for those who are aware in listening to the Spirit. The church is arising right now. The church is arising. So look for new doors of opportunity because God has all the empowerment you need to fulfill your destiny and all at the same time walking and living in shalom, the peace of God. All right, now, in wrapping this up here, remember, there were 10 spies that went into this land, the promised land, and they saw the same thing as Joshua and Caleb. But they came back and they said two different things. They saw the same things, but they said two different things. So here it is right now, okay? Practically, you've got to change three things, folks, to get that Caleb spirit. You've got to change your thoughts. You've got to capture them and replace them with God's thoughts. Number two, you need God's perspective, because those 10 spies saw the same thing as Joshua and Caleb, but you want God's perspective. And number three, you want to speak God's truth. And there will be a majority, even of Christians, speaking the negative, speaking lack of faith, speaking just no opportunity, this or that, can't do this. No, speak. There are new opportunities. All right? Three things. Your thoughts need to change. Your perspective needs to be God's perspective. And what you speak. All right. Now, I'm going to close with the Aaronic blessing here in a moment. We have available a couple available to pray for you. If you need any prayer, anything going on physically in your health or a concern at work or with family or finances, we have a phone line that there's someone available for the next 30 minutes on this after this Sunday morning service. To pray for you. And so if you call and it's busy, call back in a few minutes, all right? And we want you to get prayer. But I'm going to ask you, here as I close in a minute, I'm going to ask you to just open your hands up to receive shalom, the peace of God, from what God said, how to put peace on His people. But remember, you are part of a church, an end-time church that is arising. You're rising with the righteousness like the sun. You're part of the kingdom of your Father, and you have a Caleb spirit, a different spirit. Now, just open up your hands and receive. You might want to close your eyes. You may not want to. I just want to be in receive mode. To receive the shalom of God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom. Everything as it really ought to be, nothing missing, nothing broken. May you put your full weight down and rest in the hammock of His smile. Because His approval of you comes from the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. May you walk under the warmth of His presence and hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." You are blessed in order to be a blessing. Church, love you. Church family, love you so much. And just looking forward to hearing the testimonies of faith of the church arising coming from you.